Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Very excited about having Harry Dent back on the show. Harry's become a great member of our Brain Trust more recently, founder of Dent Research, author of the newsletter Boom and Bust, author of the outstanding books The Great Boom Ahead, also Zero Hour, and he is, as I say, become a great member of our Brain Trust. We're asking him to help us keep up with what's coming at us from the future in the economy. Harry, welcome back.
Oh, nice to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So your book, The Great Boom Ahead, what year was that published?
That was in November 1992, 2 years before the greatest bubble of our time since 1920.
But you called it the Great Boom.
That's what we saw coming. Huh?
You called it the Great Boom Ahead, which portends, you know, something positive, you know, an expansion or whatever. And we did have a boom, didn't we, over that decade?
Oh. The greatest, well, it was beyond that. We said even in that, it wouldn't end until 2000. The best of it would be in the 90s when the boomers were spending the strongest and the internet
right.
and new technologies were moving mainstream on a predictable S-curve. Both of those things predictable, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But it wouldn't be over till 2007. And guess what? We did have a big downturn after 2007 when the baby boomers stopped spending and all the creepy crawlers came out from bad debt and mortgage.
Well, it also happened from the dot-bomb debacle where we were taking companies that didn't even have – had virtually no critical mass public, and, you know, the collapse of 2000, the financial collapse of 2000, the stock market collapse, I should say, that was just beyond irrational exuberance, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we're right back there again.
The reason I asked the question – If somebody said, update the boom ahead, the great boom ahead, update that today, how would you write that book?
Yeah, great boom ahead happened. It started to go down with 2008 looked just like 1930 as we predicted. We'd be going into what we call a winter season and debt deleveraging and bubble deleveraging, but the central banks came up with quantitative easing. We'll just print, and now it's going on $17 trillion and rising of free money to pour into the economy to cover over this big debt spiral so banks don't have to fail, we don't have to write down loans, and what they created is the greatest financial bubble in history. So yes, we had a bubble into 2000, first tech bubble. The baby boomers kept us going into 2007 with unprecedented spending. So it's the greatest boom in history
U.S. consumer basically has been buoying the global economy really for a long time now, for about 20 years, hasn't it?
Well, the baby boom was global. I mean, Europe had it, Australia had it, third world countries had it. This was a global, this was an unprecedented baby boom that peaked in the late 50s, early 60s in most countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been wearing off. U.S. led it, obviously, and China secondarily. We're off in 2008, but we've been living on quantitative easing ever since. So we've had a totally artificial boom that is only one thing. It's not mainstream booming. It's not everyday people spending a lot of money, making a lot more money, doing better than ever. It's the top 1-10% getting off on the greatest financial asset bubble led by stocks. Quantitative easing, simply,
right.
Jim, it puts more liquidity in the financial system, but the financial system is where people invest money and chase stocks and real estate and commodities and all these financial assets. The Fed was just trying to save the banks and give the economy a boost. It didn't work because nobody needed more debt after businesses and consumers had borrowed.
Let me put a little context around some of this, Harry, because folks, back in 2008 when we had the financial crisis, that was created by Washington and Wall Street. It wasn't created by Main Street, and yet we became collateral damage, Harry, after the collapse of 2008. And then when they tried to fix that, as you say, the Fed with their multiple series of quantitative easing, they did that to try to fix it. But the money that the Fed created basically did not find its way down to Main Street very much. It stayed mostly.
Yeah, no, it just created a financial asset bubble which favored the top 1 to 20%. 20% control 88% of financial assets. It's a financial asset bubble that Main Street's not feeling, but it did keep Main Street from going into a Great Depression because
that's the truth. But the problem is, now that we're on these drugs, folks, what we're talking about is now that we've got addicted to these drugs, we're on morphine, yep. and we're addicted to it, and we got to figure out how to get off of it. And Harry's going to talk to us a little bit about that after the break. 20 till, Harry Dent and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.